97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And today will be a party. That's right. Bob Cooney here. No John Kincaid on The John Kincaid Show. So it's Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas is producing this fine show. And of course, the terrific, the wonderful, the puzzling Coach Eric Camille will also be here as our executive producer. Jamie, how you feeling today?
It's Friday before a holiday weekend, and I got a couple days off Tuesday and Wednesday, including Monday, the holiday. So I'm feeling pretty damn good, Bob.
Yeah, you sent me a text yesterday saying, oh, I just realized that I won't be back in until Thursday next week after tomorrow, and I sent you a one-word response.
Well, I believe it was two words.
Oh, did I? I did, yeah. My first thought was describing you as a bad word, and the next two words were bleep you.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody hates a guy going on vacation, right?
Yeah. So, it is. Today's the beginning of vacation. We are going to have fun today. That's what it's all about. Coach is going to go nuts because we're going to go way off rail today. He's already gotten out of my vision because I can tell he's mad.
Well, that's not the real reason he's excited.
What's the real reason he's excited?
It's like National Wiener Weekend.
Oh, good point.
So he has a lot of reason to be excited about wieners this weekend.
Love the big wiener.
It's grilling weekend.
It's grilling weekend. It's a national holiday.
This is America, baby.
And Coach got offended last night when we were talking about the grilling thing. You didn't know what was going on here.
I hadn't seen your email yet. I was very confused.
Yeah, so before we get into our first topic here, just real quick.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? 610-682.
So we do our pre-show stuff and we come up with some ideas and all. And one of my pre-show things was, and we'll talk about it later, was Jamie being the culinary expert of the show.
False.
And Coach comes back at me like, what? And gives me some emojis and stuff like that, basically giving me the finger and hands and head, you know, all that head and hands and all that. And I was like, what are you talking about? What the hell do you cook?
Hot dog.
You've eaten over 300 hot dogs midway through 2021. What else are you grilling?
Well, I do all kinds of grilling.
Yeah.
But it's not the fact, the term that you used was that Jamie, let's see here.
Culinary expert or something.
He was, out of all of us, Jamie is probably the most culinary gifted of all of us.
I see no argument.
I believe is a complete false statement.
Mm. Okay.
It's a false statement.
We'll see. I don't know. It was his wife's birthday the other night, and I saw oysters, and I saw, you know, a million different things. I get from you whether you grilled or boiled your hot dog.
I don't boil the hot dog ever.
Oh, I'm sorry. You eat them raw.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I did some grilled peaches with a nice balsamic reduction and some goat cheese, Coach.
I mean, there it is.
Blew people away.
It's good work.
Winner, chicken dinner.
You're grilling wieners. Come on, man.
Coach, your contribution today, the best contribution you made today, was there some extra crunchy peanut butter. A jar of extra peanut butter. Oh, my God. It was awesome. Had to have a scoop of that before the show, James. You're not. Connor hates extra crunchy peanut butter.
I'm rarely a scoop of peanut butter out of the jar guy.
Me too.
My wife's big on it.
Jamie Frankel, who's head of our sales team, yesterday told me that one of her favorite snacks before bed is to have a scoop of peanut butter.
A lot of people are into it.
Yeah, I'm not. But the fact that it had extra crunchy in there. And Connor, what was your explanation of not liking it?
Creamy is better. Why would I want to like have crunch in the peanut butter? That's more peanuts. And already the peanut butter, like the appeal of it is the butter part. So you want it to be creamy.
Do you like double
Otherwise,
stuffed
just,
Oreos?
Just eat peanuts.
Do you? Do you like double stuffed Oreos?
Yeah, but that's it's different.
No, it's not different.
That'd
it's
be like double
thing.
Creamy peanut butter. It's the same thing.
Nah, you don't.
It'd
know
be like
that.
Cookies
don't
and cream Oreos. It wouldn't make sense to do that.
You don't know. What you're that actually sounds really good.
All right.
So yeah, kind of. A lot going on today. 6 a.m. hours brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. We are going to be a giveaway all day from the 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. hour. And you know what we're giving away, Jame? Not crunchy peanut butter.
I have a feeling.
That's right. We're pretty much going to give everyone we talk to and anyone that wants to chime in. And I don't care if you say something nice or bad about the show. That's right. We're giving you tickets to FanFest. FanFest is September 18th, Saturday, September 18th. We announced it yesterday. It's going to be a boatload of fun. For those of you who have been there before, you know how great it is. For those of you who haven't been there, you got to check it out. Saturday, September 18th, Xfinity Live. It's free, but you need a ticket to get in. And that's why today we're just going to be doling them out. That's what we're going to do. Whether Coach likes it or not, whether he tries to come in here and tells us to stop, we're not going to stop. We're going to give them away all day long. So the thing I wanted to talk about to begin today's show, the John Kincaid Show, we had a resignation this week, a couple of resignations this week, actually, and we will be talking to Mark Zumoff today at 9 o'clock. That was one of them among the 76ers, and that was the one that really hit home for a lot of us with Mark Zumoff.
Yeah, I don't know the Sixers without him.
Yeah, deciding to resign and go away from the mic on the television scene, and that's heartbreaking. But there was also another one, and CEO Scott O'Neill decided to resign earlier this week. And maybe he just needed a change, and I know Scott a little bit, and this is why I bring up this topic. And I'm not doing it in a way that's trying to be controversial or anything like that. Scott O'Neill's 51 years old. He has three girls. He's very much a family man. One of the most competitive people I've ever met, both in the business world, loves to play basketball.
Yeah, and he picks me on his team every year because he's a smart
man. He is a smart man. Yeah. He knows to get the big guy down who can set picks for him so he can get his shots up. But him resigning this week as CEO of the 76ers at 51 years old and selling his stock in the team and just basically making a clean cut surprised the hell out of me, to say the least. He's been here since the process started 8 years ago. If you would have asked me, Jamie, to lay down money on any of ownership group of the top executives in that organization to see it through, to be there to the finish line, whenever that may be, and, you know, we have discussions about when the process is officially over or not over, it would have been Scott O'Neill. I never would have saw him departing this. Now, I am not casting judgment at all. I am not questioning why he did it. He just wrote a book that I'm just finishing up now, which is called Be Where Your Feet Are, a very enlightening book about your inner self and all and family. I was mildly shocked would be an understatement that Scott O'Neill left the team. I wonder, and Jamie, I'll ask you, as you know Scott O'Neill a little bit also, did it make you think there might be a bigger picture reason here? Could there be I don't want to say a fracture or a crack in the organization, but it did make me wonder, like, huh, why? Did you have any thoughts to that at all, Jamie, or am I maybe reading too much into it?
No, anytime somebody leaves a million-dollar salary job with the power that, you know, Scott had, it raises a question why. I mean, he's extremely well-connected. You know, he worked in the NBA league offices before coming to the Sixers. He's got contacts everywhere. So my first thought was, oh, he must have another opportunity that could be even better. But then you're like, well, you know, wouldn't you kind of want to see this out? To your point, I thought him and the Sixers were a marriage that was going to last a long time. He seemed to have kind of the carte blanche there to do whatever, you know,
yeah,
he saw as the vision. So I was surprised, to leave a job like that is certainly surprising. We'll see what happens next. But, yeah, of course it's natural to wonder if there was something else.
Yeah, because I often go to the future. Like I often think of, I'm a day-to-day guy, but to get through a day, I often think, well, what's going to happen a few years? Like, what could be the ramifications of this? I've seen so many stories through the years where certain things happen and you go back and say, oh, wow, maybe it all started when this happened. So I'm not saying that there's cracks in the Sixers organization at all. I'm not, but it's one of those things that's happened because Scott O'Neill is such a high-profile person and has done the work that he's done in getting this Sixers organization to where it is. I just wondered, is this going to be a case where a few years down the road, we're looking back and saying, oh, you know what? Maybe that's why Scott O'Neill got it.
Yeah.
That could be wrong. It could be just his personal decision.
It could be.
But I wonder. I wonder if there's stuff going on there. And then you throw in the Mark Zumoff thing, and I'm not going to say that it was an organizational thing. It seems like it's totally personal. And as I said, we're going to talk to Mark at 9 o'clock. But when you, like, those are two big losses this week for the Sixers.
Yeah, they are. Man, I'd love to be in a position where I could leave a CEO job of a national basketball team and an NHL hockey team. I mean, the only decision that would be made if it wasn't Scott's doing, which I think my gut keeps going back to it is his decision, but it does raise the question. I mean, it would have to be Harrison Blitzer that made that decision because he's the right-hand man of the ownership group.
Sure.
So I'd be surprised because I think he's done very well by them. You know, the franchise's value has skyrocketed even since they bought it. So as long as you're making money ultimately to these owners, I feel like you're in pretty good standing. So I would be surprised if it wasn't his doing. But it's certainly fair to ask the question.
Yeah, I think it was his doing. I think it was all him. Look, in the times that I've talked to people around the organization, I've never heard a bad word about Scott O'Neill,
no.
For sure. Especially as a worker with those guys. So
I don't think he slept.
No, yeah,
he's one of those grinders.
And in one of the stories I read about him leaving was just that. He said, you know, there's 200 nights a year where I don't have dinner with my family.
Yeah, and I'm
he
sure
said,
that's
I'm
tough.
Looking forward to that. And Scott's a Mormon, very much into his family. He's going on a retreat next week, I think. I read where he was going, but very much a family man. I don't question why he did it. I just wonder.
But it's a major organizational change.
It is, and for that reason, I'm not making this personal. For that reason alone, you have to wonder, okay, is something going on here? I mean, you wouldn't be doing due diligence if you're a reporter, if you're a talk show radio host, whatever, that you don't wonder, oh, is there something more to this? So perhaps we'll be able to get Scott O'Neill on. As I said, he's going on some kind of a retreat coming up, but maybe in the you know, days or weeks to come, we will be able to find out if there's something going on there. But did you watch a game at all last night, Milwaukee-Atlanta?
Bits and pieces.
Yeah,
I was kind of out on it, so I was just going to continue tweeting about it for 2 hours just to tell people how out I was on the game.
Well, if you're out on something, why would you continue to tweet about it?
I mean, Trae Young and Giannis are out. You know, it's like the sex appeal isn't there. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
I watched some of the first half. It was kind of boring, and then Addie wanted to watch a morning show episode, so I put that on and kind of just gave up and followed the game cast as I was paying attention. You know, it's without those two in the series, it's a very unsexy series.
Well, here's what bothered the hell out of me last night. So Milwaukee wins that game. Trae Young or no Trae Young, they don't have Giannis. They outscored Atlanta 66-36 in the paint.
Yeah. Chris Middleton realized,
what is the Sixers' strength?
I know. Chris Middleton realized, oh, wait, I have Kevin Herter guarding me.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to take his ass to the basket.
He put him in a washing machine so many times last night with spin moves.
But then you just think back to the Sixers and you're like, why wasn't that happening every time?
Last night was the first time, and I told you guys that I was watching this Atlanta team and getting, and I even thought it last night because they kept sticking around. I was intrigued by them because I watch a game and if I don't care who's playing, I kind of root for the underdog or I'd like to see the lesser team compete. Atlanta intrigued me in that way. But last night, for the first time, I was getting to be like, I can't stand the Sixers aren't still in this because, more so than I normally do, but because exactly the way Milwaukee won that game, they just dominated them on the inside. It was ridiculous. They got no play from their bench last night, Milwaukee. They got 12 points out of 123 from their bench. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, Sixers bench wasn't competing very well either. You could have, this last night was a game that the Sixers should have just put on Atlanta for four games without hesitation, and rolled out of that series so easily.
Yeah, I mean, Brooke Lopez put up 33 points.
They had no answer for him inside. I mean, Clint Capella. We saw it from the very beginning. Clint Capella can't cover Joel Embiid.
No.
They threw doubles and triples and all that. But just watching that game last night, Jrue Holiday had a really,
awesome,
really good game. He plays at a pace which is both aggravating and kind of cool to me. Like, I'm the guy, I want to see the sweat pouring off of you, the diving on the floor. He plays a cool game.
Yeah, it comes naturally to him.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes guys get that reputation. Like, Bobby Abreu was kind of one of them.
Yeah.
The game came natural to him so much that it seemed like he wasn't trying. And I understand what his limitations in the field and all that. The other thing that jumped out of just looking at the box score, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, 42 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah, pretty neat, isn't it?
Where was that?
I don't know. Why is that a thing here? Why is that when we look at other box scores, one of the first things we look at is how many minutes the best players play?
And it's usually always 40-plus. This is a game five. This more or less, 85% of the time determines the series. And your two best players played 42-plus minutes.
Yeah.
It was like pulling teeth to get Doc to play anybody over 40 minutes. I think game seven, finally, some guys did. But why isn't that norm here? I mean, even Brooke Lopez, 38 minutes. Like, Joel Embiid won 38 minutes, but Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, those guys should have been playing 42 minutes pretty much every game, because anytime the bench unit came in, they got exploited. So why not just keep your starters in?
Yeah, and there's no chance that in a so-called normal game that Brooks Lopez is going to go 38 minutes for you.
No.
But
Bobby Portis, 36. P.J. Tucker, 38.
Yeah, Mike Budenholzer saw the advantage that his inside game had last night and just kept going to it. And it worked out perfectly, but the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, no team in the NBA has a better inside game than the Sixers.
No.
Well, they just imposed their will. And Trae Young isn't stopping any inside game.
No, and that's the other thing from the game. They attacked Kevin Huerter. Trae Young is one of the worst defenders in the league. Bogdanovich, Gallinari, these guys aren't defenders. And it felt like, replaying the series in your mind, nobody was attacking these guys night in and night out. You let the Hawks get off on their weaknesses. You let them off the hook, to quote the great Dennis Green. Like,
yeah.
Looking back on it, it was such a poorly managed series by Doc. It's hard to believe that they're not playing in the Eastern Conference.
And, when the NBA trade deadline came about and we were looking for the Sixers to do something and all that, Milwaukee was one of the first to make a move. And, Jamie, I got to laud you on this, because when they picked up P.J. Tucker...
I've wanted him for 2-3 years.
You said, I love that guy. That is such a good move.
Yeah.
He lends that strength, that, I'll say it, that bulldog mentality...
Sure.
...that the Sixers just didn't have. You saw Game 7 where the Sixers collectively put their hands up in the air and said, I don't know, are you going to go win it? Or are you going to go do this? Or P.J. Tucker's that guy.
Yeah, you don't always need it from your best player. Jimmy Butler gives it to you, that's great and all. But you need that guy.
Yeah.
And who on the Sixers is that guy?
I didn't see anybody in game 5, 6, or 7
that
the game by the throat.
No, I mean, P.J. Tucker almost fought his best friend in front of his mother. Like, this guy doesn't give a crap. He's on the basketball court. He's there to kill you. And, he's not the most skilled guy in the world, but he brings a lot to a team. You can ask Devon. I've been talking about P.J. Tucker and the Sixers for at least 2 years. I thought he was would have been a perfect fit here, and he probably would have paid much higher dividends than George Hill ended up paying, because that didn't really bring you much.
Well, that was going to be my point. George Hill just was not what you thought he was going to be.
And I like George. And
so did I.
So do you.
Yeah.
And he's still here. He's part of the near-term plan. I think they have 2 more years of him at like $10 million per. You got to get more out of him, or you got to think about moving him. Like, he should be that perfect backup point/2-guard, combo guard that you look to, a veteran that's been through the battles, and he just disappeared.
I guess it was a health thing with him. I don't know. But, P.J. Tucker plays 38 minutes last night. He only gets up 5 shots, only scores five points. But his imprint on the game can't be denied.
11 boards.
Had 11 boards. He's just a tough defender.
The Hawks killed the Sixers on the offensive glass, it felt like.
Yeah.
And you needed guys to go get boards at times, and you just weren't getting them.
No. No, that's the thing that bothers me most. Watching that game last night was just how Milwaukee ran all over Atlanta in the lane last night, as I said, to the tune of scoring 66 points in the paint. They take a 3-2 series lead with the 123-112 win. Yeah, all they have to do is one of two. Obviously, that was the telltale game last night.
Hopefully Giannis can get back if they make the finals.
I would like both teams to be fully healthy. I hope that Trae Young and Giannis are back for their game on Saturday. I'm all about that. I like to see teams at their full strength so you can see what's what. I hate I hate that I saw the news yesterday that Giannis wasn't going to play. And, of course, Trae Young also. But we'll have to see how it goes. All right, Dave in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Dave?
Yo, guys, what's up? Happy holiday Friday weekend.
You too, buddy. Yes.
I actually was calling for FanFest tickets, if that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Dave, don't you worry about it. You're in.
Before I go, I wasn't sure if you guys heard David Aldridge's trade proposal.
I did not.
Mike Missanelli was talking about it with Rich Hoffman yesterday. And basically, David Aldridge said it would be Maxey, Paul Reed, Thybul, Simmons, and a 2023 first.
For Dame?
Yes. I probably would do it just because if that doesn't work, we're still left with pretty much what we had last year.
That's a lot. Yeah. Dave, hold on for your FanFest tickets. It's funny. First call we take of the day is the thing that I loathe. I can't stand talking trade proposals. I can't stand it. I don't know why. It might have been the 10 million emails that I got during the process saying, you know, would you trade this guy for that guy?
I think John equally hates it like you. I mean, a lot of them are rooted in stupidity. That one's at least from Aldridge, so there's probably some.
Thybul, Maxey, Simmons. Who else did he say?
First.
I thought he had another player.
B-ball Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's too much. You should be
way
able to.
Way too much. No.
I mean, I'm doing it. No. Don't get me wrong. But that's a lot. You should be able to protect either a Thybul or a B-ball Paul. My only fear with losing Simmons and Thybul is you're losing both, you know, two of the top 10 perimeter defenders in the entire NBA. So if you lose one of them, you want to keep the other so that your defense can stay legit on the outside. You take B-ball Paul if you have to, but leave me Thybul. But I'm in on that deal regardless.
That's a lot of breakdown for me. We'll get into it. I'm sure we'll get into some more trade segments or whatever. Citadel, building strength together online at citadelbanking.com. Got a lot to talk about. Jamie last night sent in some ideas for the show today that I told him earlier were just phenomenal. And one of them is about college basketball or college sports and what college player in their prime would have done well with the new rule that that college has just implemented. So we're going to get to that when we get back here. Plus some more thoughts from Jamie about different things going on in the world and huge contracts. How do they hold out? Are they a good thing or not? 610-632-0975. This is the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. Time at the Fanatic is 622.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Nah, I'm not going to do it. Not going to happen. When you have somebody of a legendary stature waiting on the line, Jamie, you don't keep them waiting. And we have that person right now in Mark Zumoff. Mark, we are so happy that you have joined us this morning. How are you, my friend?
Bob, you and I bent so many an elbow. How could I not resist? I mean, really. Come on. By the way, I'm really bored. I might have to go back to work.
Ah, there you go. There's an open seat right next to me and a microphone there. You'll feel right at home.
Ah, wow. What a treat.
How's your week been, Mark? I mean, it's craziness. As you knew what was going to happen as soon as you made the announcement. But what has your week been like for those listening and wondering?
Bob, I'll be honest with you. I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, I just tried to do my job and treat everybody with respect and do whatever it is that I was doing for the last 27 years and really 39 if you want to go back to my days as a halftime guy. So I've just been living the dream and enjoying every moment of it. And I was told by some people that there would be a pretty good reaction when I made the announcement, but I never imagined anything like this. I actually tried to satisfy my ego last night and scroll through all of the notifications I got on Twitter, and I quit after 3 hours. The outpouring is seriously, it's been unbelievable. I am just eternally grateful to the Sixers, of course, to NBC Sports Philadelphia, but above all, the fans who really make it all happen.
Yeah, Mark, and Mark joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. I'm not even sure this is a question, Mark. I'm just going to kind of say it and get your reaction to it. I don't know Sixers basketball without you. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Sixers basketball without Mark Zumoff and all your catchphrases and the energy you brought to the game every night. We're going to miss you, buddy. We really are. It's you've been in my living room, you know, mostly 82 games a year for what feels like my entire life. And whoever's, you know, coming in behind you has some really big shoes to fill. And just know there's an absurd amount of people that are really going to miss you on the games.
That's really kind of you to say, and that's the one thing that I have come to realize is that there is a real intimate relationship between fans and the announcers who bring those games to the fans. You're invited into their living room or you're in their earphones when they're streaming on their phones, and you become really a part of the family. And it's something that quite ironically, I realized as a fan growing up in Philly, listening to Gene Hart, listening to Bill Campbell, Mike Emmerich, Bill Branson, those four people are part of my Mount Rushmore. And I embrace them and I love them for their artistry and their ability to create and provide drama and entertainment and information. But I never really realized that there was the same feeling, I guess, for me when it came to Sixers fans. So what a ride it's been. And now that all this is coming my way, it's been really flattering and quite honestly gratifying.
Mark, we all know, I think, what you're going to miss most about it, and you've labeled it out there, the players, just giving the action to the people that are tuning in to you each and every night. But having been on the road with you for many years, what are some of the things that you might not miss about being on the road with the Sixers now, Mark? Some things that maybe you're looking forward to not having to do.
I'll say this, Bob. One of the, we'll call it, silver linings of the pandemic was the ability to be home every night. While I enjoyed our road trips and when you were on the beat, it was extra special because you and I got pretty tight and we got to share a lot of stories and I got to see you in action. And by the way, you did an awesome job. Of course, you're awesome now, but you were particularly good in your bailiwick, which I know is basketball. I know it's your first love, but at any rate, I'm digressing here. It was good to be home every night. The travel was first class. You're on a charter. You're in great hotels. Everything is arranged for you, so it becomes a little bit easier, but it's still travel. It's still time away from your wife, your family, your friends. And I have to admit that during the pandemic, being home every night was good. So probably the time away from home is the thing that I won't miss. And now I'll get a chance to be home all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mark, this is probably going to be the hardest question you ever get asked. We needed you to define, what's your favorite call to belt out during a game? Is it coming in for a landing? Is it garbage into gold? What was your personal favorite?
I'm not sure that I had a favorite, although when I would turn to Al and say, hang on, Oliver, coming in for a landing, you knew it was a tight game. And any announcer, any fan, that's what you want to see. You want to see great competition, and you want to see a game come down to the end because you're anticipating something exciting happening. So, but those expressions, those were just opportunities for me to take advantage of the fact that for the first 13 years, guys, covering the team, I was the halftime host, and I got to script and write a lot of features, and all of that made me comfortable with the English language. So it's kind of ironic. Those 13 years, I was sort of pining away and saying, gee, I wish I was the TV announcer and not sitting here as the halftime host. But my goodness, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. All that writing made me comfortable with the English language. And in doing so, I was able to craft those phrases. I always thought for radio, a guy like Tom McGinnis that does just such an amazing job describing the action and making you feel like you're there. I always thought for TV, people could already see what was going on. So it was incumbent upon me to try to come up with expressions that sort of added a dimension to what people could already see. And thank goodness I had those 13 years of writing. So that helped me to do all that.
Mark, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, oh, who's your favorite player to watch? And you went through the Iverson and some great ears in this one now, Embiid and Simmons, great Sixers players. I'm going to put a little twist on it. Who are some of your favorite opponents that the Sixers played against that you liked watching?
Wow. I'm going to have to try to comb through the memory banks real quick here. Certainly the superstars. Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace. My goodness, the ultimate competitor. I mean, I can go back to my childhood and talk about, the Celtics and my disdain for them or, you know, just through any of the eras. But, Bob, we're of similar age. And quite frankly, while I love the game today and I think the athletes are the best they've always been, I think about the 80s and 90s as being the golden age for me. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, people like that, and the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Like everybody else, I had high regard for those guys, enjoyed watching them, and thought that they would bring the best out of the Sixers, which they certainly did.
So what's next for you, Mark? Is it complete cold turkey, enjoy the family, travel a little bit, or will we be seeing and hearing from you? Are you completely going to enjoy retirement, or are you going to keep your toes in some water?
That's a really good question, and those are actually questions I'm posing to myself right now. I'll be honest with you. I think there is life after this. I do want to just enjoy my summer, which I've done for the last 39 years, since it's kind of like a school teacher where you work over the fall and winter and spring, and then you enjoy the summer. But I do believe that there will be some opportunities down the road, whether it's teaching or marketing opportunities, things like that, where I can stay active. One of the things that I really love to do that I'll continue to do is mentoring young people. And it's funny because I've come to appreciate the fact that young people can teach you as well as you teaching them. In fact, there's a phrase that a quotation that I'm often fond of saying is that when one teaches to learn. So my interactions with young people, not only do I get a chance to relive my past and try to prevent them from making the same mistakes that I did, but also learning from them. And really, as you guys have seen now, media is changing literally every day. It's one of the more fascinating eras to be alive in terms of media and sports media in general. And I'm learning a lot from the 20-somethings who are at the forefront, and they're teaching me a thing or two.
Well, if I can just let you know that there is one thing on your calendar in the very near future, Mr. Zumoff, that is playing golf with me. I'm taking you out as my guest at your earliest availability. You are my guest for all the great years you had me as your guest in your golf tournament. It's not a tournament that I will be hosting, but it'll be more of a one-on-one with me and you, and I will be in touch with you to get out golfing. I can't wait to do that with you again. Mark, I speak for this whole Delaware Valley when I say it's we've lost this treasure in you retiring from calling Sixers games. We all wish you the best. I only wish that people knew how good of a person you were, as well as the announcer that you are. And I appreciate your company all the time. I thank you for helping me through my years on the beat with the Sixers, for all you did for me. And we just want to say thanks. I mean, that's all the Delaware Valley everyone can say to you, is a heartfelt thank you for all you've done for us.
It's greatly appreciated, Bob. Jamie, thanks so much for having me on.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You got it.
See you, Mark. That is the great Mark Zumoff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.